want to share with you a thought from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. That's out. Parshas Vayera. I think there's a lot of insight into it. We'll see if we understand it. Okay. So, this week's parsha, we're greeted with the beginning of the parsha and the last week's parsha. Avram is laughs that he's going to have with this child. Sorry, Mendel laughs at the beginning of the parsha. Later on the parsha, Barsham tells him to call him Yitzchak. She calls him Yitzchak, calls him Yitzchak. Everybody's going to laugh. There's a lot of skoik, a lot of laughter in the world. Rashi says that there was a lot of skoik in the world because of the Hashem Pakad Sora, the day that Barsham was Pakad Sora. Many Akaris, many people who had needs were Nifkad, and there was much laughter in the world. Haladabrahu, that Yitzchak, two things. We don't hear much about Yitzchak's life. And what we do know about Yitzchak from our Masara, etc., is that Yitzchak was a very serious person. So you think a person there's so much laughter, bring him into the world, and his name is Yitzchak. So he'd be a batkin, you know. He could go to chasnas and make people happy. He would be a stand-up comedian. You know, you'd think something of that sort. You know, Yitzchak doesn't fit the picture of this stand-up comedian. Now we for him like Yitzchak. Okay. Hello, Davrahu. We have a tremendous reality in our society that recreation takes a tremendous part of a person's life. According to various different research, recreation in all of its forms is the largest interest in the United States of America. Between the all of the professional sports and all of the movie and TV industry and all of the magazines and the books, and then all of the people which are going and doing some type of outdoor activities as recreation, by the time we're finished, the largest industry in the United States of America is the industry of doing of recreation. Right. So that's a significant thing to understand, how a society can spend the vast majority of their time and their money is being focused on doing nothing. Like, what's the mashicha to that? What's pulling us towards that? And we have something called mischok, which is games. So you have to understand, like, it's a fascinating thing. You know, there's millions of people which are watching these games, and it's important to them, and they get all excited about it, and they're rooting for this, they're rooting for that. You know, when the guy scores, he gets a goal. You know, everybody gets all excited. Like, what is it? What's the mashicha of that which seems to excite people? To just, you know, say, yeah, we talk a little bit of sugar in a belt, you know, that's it. It doesn't seem to really describe. There seems to be there's much more of some type of a depth of a message there, which is important that we should understand what it's about. Person is never the Sanagal Hashem. So what is the greatest tainug? The greatest tainug is Lisan HaGal Hashem. And there's nothing else like that. If you read some of these accounts of these people who have had, you know, near-death experiences, you know, out-of-body experiences, and they all describe, like, after the person dies, they see this inviting, warm, pleasant light that they're being called towards. It's a tremendous tainug to be mischabed to Kadosh Baruch Hu. While we're still in our bodies, so we don't have that experience, but what experience do we have which gives that some approximation of that level of experience? What do we have? The answer is we have it, and it's called life. Now the problem is that most of us are so busy that we don't experience life. Where do you see it? You see it by a young child, you know. Kid's running around and just he's just like totally happy. Why? He's enjoying life. That's like the phrase. Like just enjoying life. He has no responsibilities. He has nothing to do. He's doing nothing. At the moment that you're doing nothing, you're truly doing nothing, and nothing is pulling at you, and nothing is making you focus, you're just enjoying being. Person says, you know, I went on a vacation. What do? I just let myself be. And it was so refreshing. So there's, when we touch into the experience of Chayim, it's a tremendous tainug, simply because that's the place of the chibur to a human being in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have, a person can convince himself that he has possessions. They're his. He has them. He acquired them. He owns them. Right? Persons, you don't have life. You can't hold it. When it comes time to come out, you can't hold it back. You have no control over it. Life, every reg of Chayim is the brush of giving. That's obvious to us. We sort of relate to the concept of Kinyan. You know, Ayers Kaidas, the Chesugyas, Babasas, they're Perik, Kinyanim, right? You know, it's mine. The Chatinazah, you know. I have it. Chayim is an asina b'chol rega from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we are experiencing a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the moment of Chayim. The problem is, you know, little kids get that, and adults get so busy with life, in quotation marks, that they are not experiencing life. They're busy experiencing everything else, but the feeling of just living. The yesod of mischak of a game is when there's nothing. It needs, by definition, to be nothing. Because if it's something, then you're doing something. So we make a game out of nothing. I told you over that, you know, there's a meister with Rav Chatzel Levenstein. He spent a proof of time after Shanghai. He came to America before he went to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Chatzel was a Kaddish Bator. I mean, his own daughter said that they lived in awe of him. They were like Pasha, they had a pocket from their father. That he was Chatzel. So that's Aaron Chatzel, just parenthetically, was people who, you know, experienced it said that during Shanghai he walked around constantly making jokes to keep the Bacham spirit up, because he realized that they needed, you know, they didn't need the Mustache Muslim, they needed to know. But so Rav Chatzel comes, he's in America, and one day he walks into Beis Medrash and there's a big tumult going on in Beis Medrash. So he says, "Nu Vasek Hashem, what happened?" He says, "You know, Babe Ruth died." Where does Babe Ruth? Who's Babe Ruth? So he's a baseball player. Vasek does baseball. What's baseball, you know? So he explained that. He said, you take a ball, you throw a stick at the ball, you know, like, you know. She says, no, it was. Like, you know, okay. You know, like, now what? You know, wow, like, you know, it's really intelligent. Like a ball and stick. He says, he's very good at hitting the ball with the stick. Like, so he says, no, what's the shankas not going by Levaya? So what exactly was the main message of the eulogies by the funeral? Like, you know, that he was really good with the, like, no, that what they said about the Levaya. Whatever. I can't imagine being in the position of trying to explain to Rav Chatzel exactly what baseball was. I don't think I'd enjoy that very much. By definition, we step back for a second, and it's absurd. Right? But you see people which are emotionless people. Things just don't really affect them. And they go to a game and they get all, you know, they're sad or they're happy, etc. You people go to a movie and they're sad and they're getting into the movie and they're crying, like, you know, they're crying for what? People should, something which lohoya lonivra. And they get emotional about it. Like, so, I mean, so just saying that, you know, people are strange doesn't seem to. The answer is, for this moment, they've stopped being distracted by the whole world. And they're touching into the world of Chayim. And by touching into the world of Chayim, they're having the emotions that a human being has in an intense way. you throw into the fact that, you know, part of the geshmak of chayim is that I am alive, but part of being alive is that I'm more alive than you, because that's part of the human experience. So when I'm better at this nothing than you, it's even more geshmak. Because there's an itzachan element in it, etc. It means I'm really alive, because I'm like more alive than you. So that's the idea of victory and winning is so intense to a person. Over what? I'm much better at hitting a ball with a stick than you are. Like, wow. Like, when you reduce it to its... But that's not the point. The point is, we stopped life, and we made it to Badafka. So if I do something which is very close to, quote-unquote, real life, the things which you normally deal with, etc., it doesn't have the same effect. She said, the word Shashua is from the Lashon Vayisha Hashem El Hevel. The Rashi turns. Shashua is that something which you turn. But Shashua, you know, whenever you have the word, a double Lashon, Yoroik is green. Yirak is an intense green. Adoim, Adam Dam, Katoim, Katantan. Right? Shashua is this intense focus towards something. To the point of a shashua. The children love to play. Because play is all about not just enjoying life. And as you see a little kid, you know, just running after the ball back and forth, etc. You think, okay, now you have a job. From now I want you to move the ball back and forth, because I don't want to do it. Like, ah, it's so hard, the ball. You know. A minute ago you were doing it. I'll pay you money for it. No, but as long as you're not making a job, it's just enjoying life, the kid's into it. Okay. So, sounds like gamer is not a bad thing, right? It's an opportunity to experience the most intense time that we have. Yes and no. If we just experience life until we stop at that moment, so deep down in the back of our minds, we understand that that is an experience of the chibur, the point of chibur between a man and his creator, because it is the Rishon is the one who gives chayim. But if I can move that from the back of my mind into the forefront of my mind, if I can move that experience and experience it on multiple levels, it's going to be that much more pleasurable. Dehainu. He approaches this from a Kabbalistic approach. I'm going to try and see if I can make it as intelligible as possible. There's a concept which the Baal HaKabbalah talk about, Kikol Bashamayim Ba'aretz. Whatever there is in Shemayim is down on the Oretz. Medrash, Parshas Truma, Kichol B'Shemayim Ba'aretz. It says, whatever is Lamala is Lamata. Lamala says, Sofim Abdim Imaloi. Lamata says, Krashim, Ateshinim Imdim. And the Medrash goes through a whole list of things which you have. You have Lamala and you have Lamata. So, how do you understand that Medrash? What's the point? So, Biruchman talks about this in Das Chacham Musar, from a semi-Kabbalistic approach, says we don't understand it. The meaning of the pshat is that there is Shemayim, there are Srafim, and the Baruch Hashem made something which here is a representative, it's a dogma, it's like you draw a picture, the picture reminds you of something. So the Krashim, Oimdim, the Atashitim Oimdim is a reminder of the concept that there's something in Shemayim, which is an Oimbed in front of a Kodesh Baruch, etc. That's a mistake. There's a concept in Kabbalah which is called Hishtalshulus. Hishtalshulus means that the Baruch Hashem creates a certain reality and it exists at different levels of existence. It's the same thing, just in our world it expresses itself in a very, very physical way. In a more ruchnistic world, it expresses that same thing in a different way. So the Oymed which exists in the Olam of the Malachim exists in our physical world in the form of Krashim. It's not two different things. It's the same thing being expressed in a different way. taking that concept, chayim can be a very, very physical thing. And chayim can be a very ruchnistic metzius. So you have a person who, when he experiences chayim, he reduces it to just the nothingness of chayim, in the sense that there's nothing else but. That's all it is, and it ends up being a very physical reality. Or a person can experience that same thing called chayim, even in this world, in a way where it's being experienced not just in the physical sense, but in the ruchniyah sense as well. What is that? That's called Torah. Reb Aaron spoke by the first annual Kala Malava Malka, which took place 17 years ago. They haven't had another one since. It's still the first Kala Malava Malka. It's not annual yet, but it's the first. And he was introducing the concept of Kolel to the Greater Washington community. And we were trying to explain what was the unique thing that we're offering. So when Kolel was started in America, started by Baron Cutler, there was the idea of higher learning. There were higher learning institutes. But the purpose of learning after your stage X is to be able to get smicha to go into Rabbanus or something of that sort. The idea of learning for learning's sake wasn't something which existed in America until it was introduced. Rishag Feivel introduced it in Beis Medrash Elyon. And Rabbanu introduced it that there was actually, it wasn't Rabbanu, that the Kollel started. Beis Medrash Gavoya was started in White Plains, New York, by a group of Talmidim from Europe of different yeshivas that come back and they said they want to sit and learn. Rav Nosson Vachlogel, Rabbi Yehuda Davis, etc. Rav Aaron came to America, they invited him to become their Rosh, and he took that group and he moved them to Lakewood, New Jersey, and that's how Lakewood started. So Lakewood did not start, you know, it's really started a year, it's about 2 years before Baron came, or I think it started already. So they asked him, what are you learning for? We're learning because we want to learn. But why are you learning? Because we want to learn. Right? It wasn't a goal. It was, this is the goal. Olam Haba is the final spot. So what's the purpose of Olam Haba? To enjoy yourself and then become rabbis? No, that's the final goal. Shabbos is the main Olam Haba because the point of Shabbos is all kol after chosuya. What you're doing on Shabbos is you're there. You've arrived. You're finished, and you're enjoying being there. Shabbos is the day that you're not doing anything anymore. You're just being. That's the hanah, that's the tainug, which we talk about on Shabbos. The hanah of being. Pleasure of existing. And feeling that existence is a makom of chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Hu said that created a way that our minds can interface with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called learning. When we learn, just to learn, to experience that moment, it's not a goal to anything else. If it is, it's going to, by definition, not have that pleasure. It's the moment of being together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, feeling that interface between a man and his creator. There's nothing more pleasurable than a man interfacing with his creator. That's the timing a person is supposed to get when he learns. We don't always get that, because, again, our mind is distracted, our mind is focused on what's going to be afterwards, and once you do that, you're not enjoying the state of being. You're thinking about doing. You lose it. It's very sensitive. That's the same way the person who goes to experience the game and he's worried about what he's going to do afterwards is not enjoying the game. The whole mila of it is it's to put your mind on hold and just enjoy being. That is the purpose of that is what Kollel is supposed to represent. That's what Rebbe Aaron introduced. But that's the purpose of Karla was not a hechatimsa to get anything afterwards. Then it's not Karla. The purpose of Karla was to create a period of time a person can experience in this world just being with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person takes that experience of Chayim and he reduces it to just the physical element of it, and it's enjoyable, you get our society. That eventually you that causes the opposite, that you have no other way to interface with it other than the physical element. You have no way to interface with it through the experience of the pleasure of the thought process. And Badafka, it's done just in the physical sense. You create almost a nothingness. And our society is busy creating nothingness. That's people spend hours and hours and hours just in nothingness. And they find it pleasurable. Because it is pleasurable, because it's the moment of experiencing Chayim. So when a person makes a decision to be involved with something like that, what he's done is, in some way, he's the delicate ability to interface with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through our mind, which allows for a more intense pleasure, becomes damaged. And the more you do it, the more damaging it is. So the problem of immersing into the secular world of entertainment is you're damaging the kalim that you have, which allow you to experience a pleasure which is way beyond that. But since this is pleasurable, you don't understand that there's something more, and you say, well, I want to enjoy pleasure. Yitzchak Avinu, we don't hear anything about him doing anything, for the most part, because that's what he did. He didn't do. He just was. He interfaced with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He interfaced with Kodesh Baruch Hu to such an extent that Elokei Yitzchak was called upon him when he was still alive. Even Kodesh Baruch Hu, not Miyachad Shmoy on a person who calls money Yitzchayim, but by Yitzchak it was possible. He was called by Bayis, and he was blind. Because he had removed the Yitzchara from himself. So Yitzchak Avinu was living in Olam Haba in this world. Yes, that's a serious thought process, because that means there was something which he had dedicated himself to do. But what he dedicated himself to do was to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He dedicated himself to be. That's the laughter of Yitzchak Avinu. That's the pleasure that he was experiencing. Here's a fascinating thing. There's a minhag in Yisrael that when you start teaching a child Torah, so many of yourselves, you teach them Vayikra. So Al Pi Chinuch, at first glance, that's a very difficult thing to teach. The child has no experience in the world of Vayikra. Even so, you start from Bereishis. Some people skip Bereishis even nowadays, right? Because we don't really relate to the creation. Rav Avinu is a great place to start. You know, but he's our ancestor, and he does chesed. And you know, there's many different chinuch lessons, etc. So what's shot in the minute to start from Vayikra? Well, because I'll say that a child is the Tinuch of Yisrabin or Tor, and Vayikra Kerbonos is Tahara, that a Tahara should come and be Yosek and Tahara. Somebody who's Tor should come and be Yosek and Tahara. He said, the first message that you tell a child is that your learning is not about lessons to do something. Your learning is about the pressure of just learning. You're learning, well, what are you going to do with information? Nothing. That's not the point. The point of learning is not to then go do something with it. The point of learning is, because that's in place where a human being interfaces with his creator. That's why you learn Kabbalah. Yes, we understand there's importance to understand the concept of halacha, and we have to do that, etc. That's a component. It's basically like he says, Nasa Benishma. Right? There's obviously a component of learning, which means we have to learn to know what to do. So that's what Nasa is. In Nasa is all the Nishmas. So what's Nishma? Nishma is the learning, not for the purpose of doing anything. Nishma is because I there's, we have a sefer here, we have a few somewhere here that Rabbi Washlag is, you know, has committed to publish, etc. For a person named Ritzi Hirsch Grudzinski. Ritzi Hirsch Grudzinski was the Rav in Omaha, Nebraska. He was Reb Chaim Moise's cousin, and the Brisker Rav said about that, had he stayed in Europe, he would be bigger than Reb Chaim Moise. But he ended up in Omaha, Nebraska. He was the Rav of Carl of Omaha, Nebraska. When he came there, there was like 7 or 8 shuls still, and he was the Rav of all the shuls. He would go from shul to shul, etc. He was a Rav there for over 50 years. His children in that room. He sat and learned in his room. The average of 12, 14, 16 hours a day. So you have this Eliyotzim learning 14 hours a day. The famous joke about this person, you know, that the Balabotim come to the Rav and they have a complaint. Says they hired the rabbi because they heard he's a very big, knowledgeable person. But they see every night he's up very late studying. So if he knows everything already, why have to study? Obviously it's a mechotos. Because they thought they hired an knowledgeable person, but he keeps studying, must be, he doesn't know everything. We expect you to know, it's a mechotos. We want it back out of the deal. It's a good question. If the whole purpose of learning is to know, I mean, like, you know already. You know what to do. You know, like, you know, how much, you know, how long does it take to know what to do? The Ibn Ezra says that the Reke Moyach asked Akasha, what am I supposed to do 40 days? And, you know, how long does it take to learn everything you have to know? 40 days, 40 nights, Gevaldenbelt. Like, what do you do for all that time? He says, Reke Moyach, you know, asked such a question. That's not what we learn. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. If you don't know how to put on tefillin, you can't put on tefillin. The key of a mitzvah of tefillin is mechayev you to know how to put on tefillin. It might take you 10 years to learn it, but that's I don't need the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to teach you that you have to learn how to put on tefillin. I don't need the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to teach you that you have to learn how to put on tzitzis, which might, you know, it might take you a few years to figure out learn hilchos tzitzis from the sugyas and the lamdas, etc., and figure out taka what the mitzvah is exactly. They say that, you know, when Yisrael Salanta was old, Reb Chaim Brisker was a young man, they brought Reb Chaim to talk to Reb Yisrael in learning. Reb Yisrael was an Eliyotzim. I mean, Yisrael was known to be like he was an off the charts Eli. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. He spoke to Reb Chaim in learning, etc. And he said, the Baruch Hashem has sent the vehicle for the coming generations to withstand the challenges they're going to be challenged with. There's no society which has the challenges which we have. Rabbi Pinchas writes, it says they ask, you know, the Chacham is such a Chacham, why don't they introduce electricity? Why didn't they discover electricity? Like, electricity is a very good thing. Yeah. Cars, etc. There are miles to it. He says, you know, once upon a time, a person worked hard. Came home at the end of the day. It was dark. He went to sleep. And nowadays, we stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning on our games. Because nowadays, we're bored. We get in the car and we go to, like, you know, what's that then? Like, you know, the Yetzer Hara was, like, you know, within a 5 mile radius. How far could you walk already? Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, the Yetzer Hara is a 200-mile radius. Within 2 hours, you can go wherever you want and do everything. You can hop right in, you have every single entertainment you want in one night. Mehechel Teisi is such a gemara that goes out. He says, so what's the option? We have to give us a limud, an oven of limud Torah, which will be a counterbalance to that. He says, that, that's Reb Chaim's Torah. There's a masikus to that. The swar, the lumdus, the back, the tut studim, the understanding, the mind is osuk, the fascinating understanding of something. That's our shashua. That's the geshmak that you have. The Rosh Hashanah created a hechatimsa that we could relate to learning in such a way that it's pleasurable. And yes, there's an element of pain. Just like in the world of playing, there's an element of pain. You know, you got to run. But when you feel that the element of the you did it, you were able to be here and present in this world of nothingness. So lahavdil, we're able to be present and feel our presence in the world of somethingness. That's the shashua of learning a piece of Gemara with Reb Chaim's Mahalo. That's the purpose of learning these. We need to feel that presence. We need to feel that our presence in that. The Bereshit gave us a Hechad Timsa to do that. It's an awesome thought process for Rishon Salanter. You talk to see the Mahalach of learning beforehand wasn't like that. But he said that the coming generation is going to need a whole different ballgame. Come on, somebody got to laugh at it. Anyway, okay. And that is, you understand, I mean, I just saw this statistic, whatever it is, I think, between the 20 and 30 year olds, they've become so dovek to their computer that they're not interested in meaningful relationships with other people anymore, because they get their seepage of relationships from the computer, from their phone. Like over 50% of the 20 to 30 year olds say that they don't feel the need to make meaningful social relationships because they get that chibur to their phone, to the whatever the computer game or the whatever it is that they have over there, and it has every element of fake life in it. They don't need anything more. It's like we became nischaber to nothingness. There's ability to discover to somethingness, to the shashua of learning a piece of Gemara. And yeah, it's hard. The first time you learn a piece of Gemara is very frustrating. It'd be muscle with learning Hilchasitzes. I remember when I started learning Hilchasitzes. I had a chavrusa. We're learning Hilchasitzes be'iyun. So we're only kuntzin. So you start the simon. Simchas, it starts very easy, etc. And you get to these halachas about when you need a new bracha, you don't need a new bracha. So you learn the first sif, you learn the Torah, the Beis Yosef, you learn the sugya, you learn the sif, and you work out the mataz, Magen Avraham. You come up, now you have the klal. Makes sense. This is the klal. It applies to all cases. So you go to the next sif. The klal is wrong. It doesn't fit that case. Start over again. It took me three first seders to work through five sifim and simchas. 3 4-hour first seders to work through that simon. So five sifim. So my chavrusa said to me, like, couldn't you just tell me this, like, up front, like in one sif, like, why do you do this to me? Just tell me to just give me the final rule, which like applies to all the cases. He says that's not the point. The point is the ASIC. Yeah, it's painful. It's frustrating. You bang your head against the wall. Like, you finally figure it out, and you go to the next step and say, ha! Like, and it's happened four times. Like, after I finished the first two sifs, I said, okay, now I have the cloud. Okay, let's go to the next sif. No, doesn't work. Start over again. By the fifth time, I was already banging my head against the wall already. I was so frustrated. Yeah, that's the pain. And then the pleasure when you get it. The intense pleasure, I got it. I understand it. I understand the element of Torah. What am I passing with that? That's not the point. Your mind was also to understand the Baruch Shem's Torah. That's the place where you interface with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And without understanding any deep philosophical understandings, the Baruch Shem made that we feel that pleasure. Even we're in our goof. Kabbalchaymer, Ben Baruch Shem Kabbalchaymer, lost his love. Personally, I don't enjoy it because you're focusing on the steps of the process, which are frustrating. And but you know that there are moments when you get it. So the guy says, they tell you, so you come to Gan Eden and say, Baruch Hashem, you spent my whole life being mercy and nefesh, Come to Gan Eden and they show you there's a Shedron of Gemara. He says, no. Like, this is my whole life. I was frustrated with the thing. Like, but that's Olam Haba, the Shedron of Gemara. That's Olam Haba, the Shedron of Gemara. So the Kol Zman, where we allow ourselves to become dovik in the physical expression of the Shashua of Chayim, we dull our appreciation and our senses of the spiritual expression of the simcha of having chayim, the shashua of chayim. So we hurt. We're limiting ourselves. We're affecting ourselves. So a person says, "But you know, mehechatesi." It's a hard question. Mehechatesi. I should give this up, which I know this works for me. For this one, which I don't know, it's hard. So Mishil Sharm says, something called a Gan Mavucha, the maze. So the way the maze was made, it was this gigantic fields with different hedges, etc. And there was a raised pavilion. People in the middle of the pavilion could see all out, all over, everywhere over the maze. And they can tell you as you're walking through, they call out to you, go left, go right. You know, when you're walking through the hedges, they all look the same. And you can't tell which one is right, which one is wrong. He says, but the people, the raised up, they can tell you. So if you trust them, they tell you, so you'll finally get to the end. If you don't trust me, he says, listen, it all looks the same to me. Well, who said he knows more than me? So you'll never get there. So the Ganim of Vucha is our life. This is a path which provides pleasure. This is a path which provides pleasure. This has even a better pleasure than that pleasure. But that fellow over there says, no, this is a better pleasure. Just trust me. So you have a choice. Do you want to listen or not? But this is true. It's tried and true, and I know it already, and it's not familiar with it, and it's moishech, and it's addictive, and it's interesting, and it's fun, And this, I don't know. I don't find it fun. I find it hard. And there's some rabbi with a long white beard that says, I'm telling you, it's really geshmak. He says, what do you know about geshmak? You understand geshmak. You never enjoy the computer games. You don't understand what it's about. Right? So why should I listen to this rabbi with the white beard? I'm a hekatesi. That's the challenge which we have in life, because the Bereshit said there's a shashua, which is the whole tachlis of the whole bria, of being mischaber to the very olam, and feeling that pleasure. And the Bereshit said there's a vehicle how to do it in this world, which is it's a me'ain. And we do it just because we want to be there, just to enjoy that process. Just enjoy that interface with the Dvar Hashem. It is powerful. It's much more powerful than what you get in this world. Yes, it takes a leap of faith, because you don't necessarily get it right away, and you're giving something up for it. But that's our Yitzchak Avinu. That's what Yitzchak Avinu is about. Yisrael was that there's Avram, there's Yaakov, and there's Yitzchak is. He put his being into this interface with the Kodesh Baruch. And he was a seichik. It's a very serious thing. He's doing something very, which has, it's interfacing with the Kodesh Baruch. But it's tremendous shashua, it's tremendous pleasure. That's the seichik of Yitzchak Avinu.